Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The ability that, you know, of staying balanced, we've done that, you know, and you look, maybe not total yards, but within play calls, we try to stay pretty balanced. And because of that, you look at some of the explosive plays. Our most explosive plays on the season have been in the run game. Obviously, I love consistency, but if you know, the type of team we are, if we're going to be more not as consistent, but hit the big explosives, then we'll, you know, put our guys in position to do that.
Sure you will, bud.
That was Dan Mullen, head football coach, Florida. Oh, yeah. Curtis Mayfield. Welcome back to the program, Sports Chat with Dwayne Walker. Which reminds me, do you realize that they're shooting a bunch of movies here in Atlanta? Welcome back to the program, Sports Chat with Dwayne Walker, 10:03. Just a quick sidetrack here. I saw on the Twitter a photo here in town over the Tyler Perry Studios, a picture of Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, Will Smith, and who starred in New Jack City? The brother. Wesley Snipes. How about that? All shooting movies here in Atlanta. Bad Boy 3 and Coming to America 2. Number three in movies shot as far as locations, behind probably what, Hollywood and New York? Hollywood, New York, and the ATL. Yeah, we got those tax breaks. That's good, Pat. All right, Sports Radio 92.9 again. Welcome back to the program, man. A lot of stuff going on. I mean, depending what vantage point you're coming from. I'm coming from the vantage point that the Georgia Bulldogs picked up a huge 24-17 victory today at the world's largest cocktail party in Jacksonville, Florida, after beating the Florida Gators, like I said, 24-17. One of the most complete games, overall games, that I've seen a Georgia football team play in quite some time. Jake Fromm, the quarterback, is very efficient, 20 of 30, 279 yards, a couple of touchdowns, no picks, no turnovers, no sacks allowed. It was such a clean game. The Bulldogs converted 12 of 18 on third downs. It was just a sound performance overall. Special teams got involved. Brian Herrien had a couple of very good returns on the kick return game, which that was a pleasure to see. The defense stepped up. Brian Herrien had, he had a couple of returns for 51 yards, two returns totaling 51 yards. Very, very good. Rodrigo Blankenship, the kicker, he made all three of his field goal attempts, trying to erase what had happened 3 weeks ago against South Carolina. So it's just nice to see the Georgia program overall bounce back despite a lot of the stuff that had been going around. And you know what it was, right? About the Georgia wide receivers' inability to get open. I will say this, coming into the game, many noted that the Florida Gators would try to stack the box and force Jake Fromm to beat them over the top. And he basically did that, completing, like I said, a number of third down conversions via the pass, 12 of 18 overall. But he did it with his feet. He looked pretty darn good, I've got to admit. Three carries, 12 yards, but important yards that he picked up, one of which set up a 52-yard explosive play, and that's another one of those constructive criticisms that have been going around about this Georgia offense. Well, they had an explosive play, a 52-yard pass from Jake Fromm to Lawrence Cager. Cager in all, 7 receptions for 132 yards and that 52-yard touchdown that I just talked about. But he also had several third-down catches in the game. In Georgia's first drive alone, I want to say he had like 3 third-down catches. Let me see. He had one on third down and 14. He caught one for 14 yards. He had another one during the course of the game. Let me see if I have it written down. You know, I try to take some notes during the game so that I don't lose myself. He caught a big 3rd-and-4 also in the first half of play. So he was very, very productive, man, and it was just really good to see. By halftime, check this out. At half, Georgia was already 8 of 11 on 3rd-and-4. Jake Fromm connected with, targeted, 9 different receivers in the first half alone. Lawrence Cage, who I just mentioned, he had 4 catches in the first half. Demetrius Robertson. George Pickens, the freshman, had a grab. Matt Landers, he drew an interference call. Dominic Blaylock caught a touchdown pass. And then out of the backfield, DeAndre Swift, Brian Herrien also made some plays out of the backfield, catching the ball, including Herrien's 3rd-and-4 catch. He had a real nice one-handed grab down the far sideline. It was butter. The Georgia offense even got the tight ends in on the action. Both Charlie Warner and Eli Wolf caught passes, 2 each. I can't remember the last time Georgia tight ends had 4 receptions in a game. And if I'm not mistaken, the team only had 1 penalty in the first half. And one penalty in the first half. And that was an illegal procedure by George Pickens. I guess he was moving before the snap. So they played a real clean first half. Also in that first half, like all the running backs got time, got action. Swift, James Cook, Zamir White, Brian Herrien, they were doing their thing. And then on the other side of the football, okay, defensively, they only needed to our defense was on the field for 20 plays in the first half. 20! And the defense only allowed 8 yards of rushing in the first half, 76 yards passing in the first half. It was phenomenal. It was beautiful. The Bulldogs scored all 3 times in the red zone, a touchdown, and a couple of field goals. And one might argue, okay, those 2 field goals, obviously, rather than be touchdowns, because when it was 16-3 and the Gators came back to throw a touchdown to make the score 16-10, you kind of heard some mumbling about, well, because we were limited to field goals, it kind of enabled Florida to get right back into the ballgame, which I guess it did technically. But look how Georgia responded. They responded with a touchdown of their own to take the lead 24-10. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're listening to Sports Wrap with Dwayne Walker, the flagship station of your Atlanta Falcons, Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta United FC. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, want to invite you to stick around because coming up in a few, we're going to have a radio replay for you. Paul Mahara, who writes for the GeorgiaBulldogs.com, he was on our air talking to Thomas Mott. So we'll have a conversation with him, some immediate insight on Georgia's 24-17 victory over Florida. So what does this all mean as it comes to the standings? Okay, coming in, Georgia had played one less game, 6-1 overall. But now in the division, their record improves to 4-1, while the Florida Gators, their record falls to 4-2. So in essence, we have the tiebreaker against Florida. USC, the team who we lost against, South Carolina, they've already got 3 losses, so they're out of the picture, so we don't have to worry about them. What the Georgia Bulldogs have to do basically at the end of the day, and we don't want to talk this way, all right? We don't want to talk this way, but I'll give you a little buffer. Realistically, Georgia probably could afford to lose one more game. All right, we don't want to think like that. You want to go out and handle your business. You know what I'm saying? You want to go knock everybody off. But realistically, they probably could lose one more SEC game, which we're not hoping for, and still be in the mix. Because if I'm not mistaken, who does Florida have next week? I'll look it up. But I think the way it kind of plays out, maybe Florida plays against USC. I got to look it up. I'll look it up and tell you. But it's kind of like Florida would cancel a game out with, I want to say, South Carolina. So really we have like a game that we could actually afford to lose. But we're not going to think that way because we're trying to get to the title match. And I can't see either way a two-loss SEC champion being excluded from the national playoff. The only way I could see it happening is, let's just say that Georgia messed up and lost another SEC game. And then on top of that, they lost in the season finale against Georgia Tech and had 3 losses. I don't see a 3-loss SEC champion getting into the college football playoff. Can anybody see that? Let's say Georgia lost a game, an SEC game, one of the remaining 3 games against Missouri, Auburn, or Texas A&M. If they lost a game, all right, still represented the SEC East, all right, but they also lost the game to Georgia Tech and had 3 losses, regardless of what they did in the SEC championship game, I can see them being bypassed if they had 3 losses overall. Does anybody out there agree with that? What do you think? No 3-loss team is going to get in, even if you win the SEC, right? 2 is going to be about the max. 404-741-0929 if you want to chime in. As I said, also got a radio replay coming up, man, to kind of take a revisit to that Georgia game. 24-17 victors over Florida. You're listening to Sports Job with Dwayne Walker, Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 again. Welcome back to the program. Sports Wrap with Dwayne Walker. 10:23 and ticking. Radio replay time. After Georgia's exhilarating 24-17 victory over Florida, Thomas Mott from Ready or Mott had Paul Mahari, team reporter for UGASports.com, on our air talking Dogs football. Let's get to it.
Let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline now and bring in Paul Mahari, who is a team reporter for UJSports.com. Paul, how you doing here on a Saturday?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, listen, I appreciate you coming on. I really was hoping to get a Georgia interview, and you kind of took up the mantle there, and first time having you on, and I appreciate you coming on. Let me get your first reaction overall on this game is what?
It was a huge game for Georgia, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball. I think that this was a game nobody really had circled at the beginning of the year, being a tough opponent in Florida, definitely not being a top 10 matchup. And Georgia just went out there and basically just put it to Florida. The score 24-17 indicates the game was a lot closer than it was. I think Georgia had full control throughout the game. A lot of different pieces for Georgia really stepped up in a big way. Lawrence Cager, Jake Fromm, I know we'll touch on those guys, but just a really, really impressive performance and something to, kind of shut the haters up a little bit. A lot of talk right now about Jake Fromm, Kirby Smart, and they went out and proved that they are the two main guys for this team.
There is a lot of talk going on about Jake Fromm, and it'll probably follow him for the rest of his Georgia career. But let's talk about his day today. 20 of 30, 279 yards, two touchdowns. In my opinion, this was probably the best Jake Fromm game we've seen so far this year. What say you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about that. This was his best game, one of the team's best games, I think. This and Notre Dame probably right there next to each other. But the way that Jake was able to convert on third down, 12 of 18, and at one point I think they were like 9 of 11 or something. It was a crazy stat there for a second. Just absolutely took full control of Todd Grantham, third and Grantham, and 12 and 18 on third down. Jake Fromm looked incredible, really did. And Grantham at times just looked flabbergasted. You know, he looked like he didn't know what was going on. And, you know, tribute James Coley, another guy that a lot of fans, offensive coordinator James Coley, you know, people have talked and kind of harped on. He brought out something a little different today. There were some things they need to clean up, but overall, if you're a Georgia fan, you've got to be leaving Jacksonville and feeling extremely optimistic compared to how you probably drove down.
I had said this stat earlier on in my show that Jake Fromm has never won a football game at Georgia when he's thrown the ball 30 times or more. He did that tonight, completing 20 of his 30 passes. Do you think that this might open up the offense just a little more? You mentioned the offensive coordinator. He's been under fire by a lot of Georgia fans saying that, you know, it's a lot of dink and dunk. They're running the ball a lot, naturally, with Swift. But do you think this might maybe open the offense up a little bit more because Fromm, he's done it in the past, but this year proved that they can win it whenever they go to the air?
Potentially. I think what's going to have to happen, though, with this Georgia offense is they're going to have to be able to run the ball up the middle. You know, and that's something that we've seen for the past 3 years under Sam Pittman and Kirby Smart. They've been able to do an excellent job of instructing those guys up front. And for whatever reason, these past three or four games, they look completely lost on that side of protection, and the rush game just hasn't really gotten going. And to your point about Jake Fromm, yeah, I think you're going to have to put a lot more on his shoulders. You're going to have to see a lot more passing plays, especially if the interior of that offensive line can't get going and start to rush up the middle.
Talking to Paul Meharry right now, team reporter for UGASports.com on the WadeFord.com hotline as we react, obviously, to Georgia's big win over Florida 24-17. Four games left now. We got Missouri, Auburn, A&M, and Georgia Tech. We're all going to circle Auburn, obviously, because it's on the road. It'll be a top 15 matchup, most likely. Is there any worry that they might overlook Missouri a little bit with Auburn looming in 2 weeks?
No, I don't think so. And the reason being is, you know, Kirby Smart has got his guys thinking every game so far. It's just basically going to be a playoff play-in game. And if we lose, well, guess what, guys? We're out. That's kind of what he's told his team. So I think they're going to look at every game from here on out as, you know, either win or go home. Their true, you know, end-of-the-season goal is to get to the Final Four and have a chance for the national championship. And you can't do that by overlooking Missouri. Now, yeah, you could say Missouri is not as good as Auburn, but if you look at the stats, Missouri's right there. And also, if Missouri wins this game, then they will have the head-to-head tie in the SEC East in terms of conference play, and they could actually be the team going instead of Georgia. So absolutely not. I do not think that Kirby Smart and his team are going to overlook Missouri. I think that he has a lot of respect for what Barry Odom and that program's done up there, and they're going to have to go in there kind of a no-malarkey situation, you know, get in there and get out.
Georgia's defense, obviously, again, good today. They've held every single opponent this year to 17 points or less. You could say the criticism is they haven't faced a really high-powered offense yet. In Florida, obviously, Kyle Trask has looked high-powered at some points. He scored a lot of points in Death Valley against LSU a couple weeks ago. But is it safe to say that we really won't know enough about the Georgia defense until they take on an LSU or an Alabama? Or do you think we know enough about them to go, yeah, they can actually hold Alabama to under 30 or holding LSU to under 20 or whatever?
I want to see what Alabama and LSU do against each other next weekend before we kind of see what Georgia could do or couldn't do against them. I want to see both of those teams go up against a really good defense and see what happens. But no, I think that the Georgia defense is for real. I think they are absolutely legit. No, and you play who's on your schedule. You know, these are SEC opponents. Florida's a top 10 team. Like, let's not just throw it out the window that, you know, they haven't played anybody or anything like that. It has been a softer schedule, absolutely. There's no question about that. But when you can hold every team you've played so far through your eight games to not have a rushing touchdown, Georgia has not given up a rushing touchdown all season, including this Florida game. And Florida, if I'm not mistaken, I think had like 1.1 rush yards per. It was something, 19 carries, 21 yards, 1.1 yards a carry. This defense is legit. They don't have a superstar guy. You know, they don't have a Chase Young like Ohio State does, but they have a bunch of guys that just know their roles and can get after it. And that's what happens when Kirby Smart recruits at a high level. He's got depth, and he's got guys that can do certain things better than others, and he just, swaps them in and out.
I'm getting ahead of myself here with this question, but we all, and you hit on it there, we all are going to look to see what happens in the Alabama-LSU game, because that's going to be, you know, a battle of the Titans here. Right now, though, if you had to pick, and again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, if you had to pick the more favorable matchup for Georgia if they were to be in the SEC title game, who would you rather play, LSU or Bama?
Oh, boy, Shibuya, man, that's crazy. I don't know. I would probably take LSU just because it seems like, for whatever reason, Alabama has Georgia's number. I don't know if it's Kirby Smart working for Nick Saban. I don't know if it's, you know, the boss beating up on the former understudy. I would take LSU. We don't know if LSU is a flash in the pan. You get him into a big, you know, SEC championship game. Is Joe Burrow going to still be the same quarterback he's been all year? We know what Alabama is, you know. So I would take my chances. If I was Georgia, I'd say, let's play LSU. Let's try it. Let's try to revenge that loss from last year, and let's see what we can do. I would not want to play Alabama, especially considering the last two times you played them, you've had your heart ripped out twice. Let's try for not to have a third time if you can help it.
Way ahead of ourselves, obviously. I just want to get the question in there because, you know, it's fun to preview and look ahead. But finally here, and I'll just, again, keep looking ahead to Auburn because that's 2 weeks from now, and that's kind of the big game that we're all circling after Missouri. And now you mentioned it earlier that Missouri is still not anyone to just kind of, you know, mail it in against. Auburn 10-7 right now over Ole Miss. The matchup there, though, should obviously favor Georgia, right?
Yeah, I think so. And the biggest thing for Georgia right now is, you know, there was a lot of questions, a ton of questions coming into this game. And for whatever reason, that Vegas spread line, you know, stayed at 6.5. And, you know, me and a couple buddies, we were looking at it and thinking, you know, that spread's staying up there, you know, way too long. It should be dropping. I don't think Georgia is going to be in control of this game. They cover the spread. Maybe Vegas knows something that all of us that cover the team don't. And, you know, they pulled away, but at the same time, no, I don't think any game going forward, Georgia should not be favored. And after watching what they did against Florida, and Florida impressed throughout the entirety of the year, they won over the entire nation from the start of the year to now, before this game. Everybody thought Florida was the real deal. Georgia came out, put a stop to that. So it's got to make Georgia the real deal, right?
I hope so.
Plays out. I don't know.
I hope so. We will wait and see. He is Paul Meharry. Paul, listen, I appreciate you coming on kind of last minute. Really hope to have you on here in the future. You can follow him on Twitter at PMAHarry and also all the stuff he does for UGASports.com. Paul, again, thank you for coming on. Big Georgia win. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night.
All right, man. Thank you for having me on. I'd love to have be on anytime else you guys need me, man. And if you need a good brisket recipe, hit me up on Twitter.
Let's go out to the wadeford.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Rapper Dwayne Walker, 10:43. Great Patman, ooh, producer, great Patman. Hope you're enjoying the program. Celebrating a big day, Georgia defeated, Florida 24-17, if you're just joining the program. And, the stage is set, really, for the remainder of the season. All Georgia has to do is just keep winning. They've got three more SEC opponents left. If they were to go on to win all three of those games, they would be the SEC East representative here in Atlanta, Georgia. That's a nice benefit, isn't it? Attending the University of Georgia, playing at the University of Georgia, and having the SEC championship game right here in the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. What is it, like an hour and a half away from Athens? Hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes at the most. Let's go, Dogs. All right, so check this out. Going on right now, and there's a lot of football that's being played right now that has some local interest. We'll tell you about what other SEC teams did today. Several of the top teams were off this particular Saturday. Alabama not in action. LSU not in action. Ohio State not in action. They said this is the first time in a long time that the top three ranked teams weren't in action. But I guess that depends what poll you're going by, because the one that really matters doesn't take place until this upcoming Tuesday. I want to say at 9 p.m. Does that sound about right? The College Football Playoff Committee, they will convene, and they'll, you know, do it on national television, of course, and let everybody know who they have ranked where. And with Georgia's 7-point victory over Florida coming into the game, Florida was ranked 6th. Georgia was ranked 8th in the coaches poll. But now, since Georgia obviously beat Florida, what will happen in essence? Well, at the very minimum, you would figure that Georgia will move down to 7 at least, right? Penn State, nothing going on. Clemson played today, and they bam-basted Wofford 59-14. So right now, the coaches' poll looks like this. The AP top 25. LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, led by Justin Fields, defending champions Clemson at number 4. Penn State 5, Florida 6 coming in, but that'll change. Oregon 7, they won on Thursday. Correction, they won today, or they're winning today against USC. So they should stay there. Georgia, as I mentioned, won. Utah was victorious today over Jacob Eason and Washington, 33-28. And Oklahoma comes in at number 10. They're still smarting after that upset loss to Kansas State. And speaking of Kansas State, they were winners today, 38-10 over Kansas. And they that upset victory moved them into the top 25 at number 22. Rounding them out, Auburn is ranked number 11. According to the AP poll, Auburn over Ole Miss, 20-14. What else do we got here? We've got Minnesota, Michigan. Michigan is ranked 14th. Michigan, they ran roughshod over Maryland today, 38-7. They're also coming off that victory over Notre Dame. Look, ask you a question. Does anybody think Notre Dame's that? Notre Dame is so overrated. Let's just be honest. They're 16th. They beat Virginia Tech today, 21-20. I mean, I'm not even so sure Notre Dame should even be a top 25 team. Oh, okay, sure it does. Notre Dame is 5-2. They're ranked 16th. 5-2. That don't even look good on paper. Cincinnati, they're in a shootout right now. Who else we got in here? Wisconsin, they've fallen down a bit. Now, let me ask you this. If Wisconsin played against Notre Dame, who do you think would win? I think Wisconsin would win that all day long. 19, Iowa, and 20, rounding out the top 20, is Appalachian State. They came into the week 7-0, but they lost to Georgia Southern, 24-21. Go ahead, Eagles. 24-21. They're previously undefeated. But a lot's going to change. And like I said, College Football Committee, they come out with their rankings on Tuesday. And since a lot of the teams were inactive this week, I can't see it changing very much. AP Top 25 poll compared to the College Football Playoff Committee poll. LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson sound about right. Why? LSU is playing fantastic ball at 8-0. Believe it or not, they've scored more points than Alabama. LSU we're talking about. Alabama ranked second? I can see that. However, I think the College Football Playoff Committee, they're not going to have the same poll as AP Top 25 poll. So I'm going to venture to guess that Clemson will claim that three spot, and they'll bump Ohio State down to four just out of respect. And really, if you think about it, aren't they kind of being disrespectful to Clemson, even though they haven't played their best ball? Granted, they haven't played their best ball. Is number four a knock on them? But what I do like about the Tigers and Dabo Swinney, they don't really care where they're ranked as long as they're in the top four, as long as they're in the playoff. They know they have the potential to do damage. They've won it two out of the last 3 years. So they're doing something right. Those of you that care, that are interested, SMU, Southern Methodist. I thought they received the death penalty. Didn't they receive the death penalty back in the 80s? Well, if you receive the death penalty, how are you back? But anyway, they were undefeated coming into today's contest against Memphis, but they are trailing 40-32. They just got on the board in the fourth quarter. They were down actually 40-24, and they managed to score a touchdown and add a two-point conversion. So 40-32, Memphis over SMU with 12:49 to play in the fourth quarter. All right, so now let's take a quicker look, a closer look at the SEC and what's going on there. Oh, music's in my ear. I still need to share with you about that Seattle Connect NFL player getting paid at the next level as an owner. Tell you who I'm talking about next. You're listening to Sports Chat with Dwayne Walker, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.